The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be doing a follow-up. We're going to be interviewing Rabbi Levi Gurkov of Oceanside, Long Island. We interviewed him in November following Hurricane Sandy. And coming back to revisit what's going on almost 6 months later in the ravaged areas that was left in the path of that Frankenstorm. It's a cappella weeks these next 6 weeks. So we opened up with some a cappella music. We got some really good a cappella music for you, let me tell you, folks. The portion of the week is the portion of Tazria, which can be at Tazria Metzora. We have a double portion this week, which is found in chapters 12 and following in the book of Leviticus. We have an amazing, insightful Hasidic story. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. The Egyptian Navy captured a Somali ship on its way to Gaza. The ship was carrying 40 tons of guns and high-quality ammunition. 14 crew members were arrested. IDF soldiers opened fire on two terrorists who approached an IDF position in Samaria. As the two terrorists approached the soldiers, they hurled firebombs at them. The soldiers returned fire, killing one terrorist and wounding the other. Not really what you'd call a good idea to stand there and try to throw a bomb at a guy with a gun. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is in Israel today, immediately following a quick visit in Istanbul. Kerry is also expected to make a stop in the Palestinian Authority capital of Ramallah to meet with PA Chairman Mahmoud Abbas. Israel launched its first airstrike on Gaza since the Egyptian-mediated truce ended at November's eight-day fighting. The airstrike came in response to mortar fires from Gaza. Neither the raid nor the explosion caused any injury. Arab rioters throughout Judea and Samaria accused Israel of causing the death of an Arab prisoner who died of cancer in an Israeli hospital. The man was being held on a murder charge, life in prison, and he got life in prison. Arabs in Jerusalem attacked police and security forces who were trying to restore order near the Damascus Gate. A Palestinian man who clicked like, quote-unquote, on Facebook status criticizing a PA authority official was sentenced to 6 months in prison for libel and slander. The man is the second Palestinian to be in prison for Facebook activities in the past few days. Natural gas from the Tamar gas field began flowing last night to Ashdod. Israel hopes to save $3.5 billion annually by using domestic gas. The Leviathan field, located in the Mediterranean north of Haifa, is expected to turn Israel into a natural gas exporter. But with everything else, more stuff, more worries, Israel is going to purchase a fleet of new warships to protect the new gas fields that have just come onto line. The Israel Navy is hoping to invest a $760 million to protect the new natural gas fields. Anybody want to write a check? Syrian troops or rebels destroyed the synagogue where Elijah the prophet anointed Elisha and his followers. Elisha as his follower. The structure, which dates back to 720 BCE, was Syria's oldest synagogue. It last underwent renovations about the turn of the century, where it was put, electricity was restored, and is known to have been the sanctuary of the Talmudic scholar Elazar ben Arach. Two teenagers from the city of Beitar Elite were injured when they fell into a 15-meter deep pit while touring the Negev. That's 45 feet down. Both were taken to Hadassah In Care Hospital in Jerusalem and are listed in stable condition. And finally, you can now follow the Knesset on Twitter to find out what's going on in the plenum and the committees, just like you have nothing else to do. The account is HaKnesset in Hebrew letters or at Knesset IL in English. The Knesset also has a Facebook page, a brand new YouTube page, and a smartphone app. Yes, and that's the news. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Herschel Finman, here you are, listening to the Jewish Hour. We are on live with Rabbi Levi Gurka, who is our chief rabbi of Oceanside, Long Island, New York. How are you today, Levi?
Baruch Hashem, thank God.
Good to hear. We had you on last November following the ravaging effects of Hurricane Sandy. At that time, we even had difficulty maintaining a connection with you because cell phones coverage was spotty. Things were not in the up and air. We had to cut short because you had something more important to do than talk on the radio. So in the aftermath, how are things now, 5 months later, Levi Gurkov?
Well, the reception is back and up and running. Thank God for that. We don't have any cell phone problems or any of those the landline interruptions. People have their cable back, which makes people a lot, people happy. So in that aspect, everything is on the mend. Everything's on the mend. Just today, they announced they closed the bid on renovating and repairing the boardwalk in our neighboring town called Long Beach. So they're going to be starting within a week or two. So if you walk, there is no boardwalk at the moment to walk on, but things are turning around to the point where, contracts have been signed and the work is started and going to be starting in the near future. So we're at that stage in the recovery where, you got your plans and you understand and you know what you want and what materials you want, and now it's just a matter of renovating. Mm-hmm. The cleanup has happened, and now it's just a matter of getting the new bathroom put in.
Okay. What's the morale of the people there? This is taking a long time. I'm sure people would have liked if, 3 weeks later everything was finished and they were back in their homes and everything was back to the normal the way it was to start. This is 5 months this is going on. Are people frustrated or are they saying, well, we understand things take time?
People are frustrated, so they're actually tired of dealing with this. They want it to be over. There's a number of people. We have the statistics of about 2,000 people still left in emergency shelter, when not like the immediate aftermath, and not in a tent city or in a coliseum, but they're unpaid. They're where the government is paying for their hotel stay. So even if you're going to be staying in a half decent hotel or full decent hotel, that people just need their home. They don't like to live out of one studio apartment in a hotel or in a hotel room. So people want to get back to their own homes. They want to move back in, and slowly they are. People in my community are still commuting every day to make sure that the contractors are doing what they're supposed to do, and comes a Shabbos and they come to shul. There's the talk around the Shabbos table is, thank God I got my my plumbing to work 100%, and then the roofer came and finished what he had to do. So this is what people are thanking God for, the so-called little things.
Are there still areas in Oceanside that are off limits? They're still yellow taped?
No. There is no place. Well, right now, which is interesting, is that there's still a griminess, there's a grimness to the infrastructure. Like there's, I can't tell you how many times I had to plug my tires, just because I went over some debris or some roofing material, nail. You got to be careful when you park, not to park too close to the corner of the curb because, there's shards of things. It's a little, it looks a little. It doesn't look as upkept and as clean as it used to be, but now that the gardeners are coming back to do the cleanup, after the winter cleanup, Things are slowly looking a little better. The grass is, you know, the gardeners, even my gardener is telling me that he has to use a lot of the nitrate, double amounts to get the stuff going again because they're all contaminated by the seaweed, the seawater, mess things up. So there's the cleanup is still happening.
Mm-hmm. What percentage would you say of the houses in your community were destroyed or suffered severe damage, Rabbi Gerkov?
Put it this way. If we have about 3,000-somewhat homes, if any of the home has a basement, that basement was flooded. You did not have a home within a mile or two of any canal or waterway that did not get flooded, if you had a basement. If you didn't have a basement, then you would be perhaps lucky if you were a little bit above sea level by, if you were above sea level by about three feet above sea level, your first floor would have got a couple of inches of water. It all depends on just by luck. Your neighbor, when they made the foundation, they made it 2 inches higher than you, and they were spared. The water didn't come into their first floor. So almost every home in the lower-lying areas, primarily even within a half a mile distance of any of the waterways, your home was you had to change your electrical conduits and panels and basement and first floor.
Okay. Now, let's talk about Pesach is a big time. It's a big time for families to get together. It's also a big time for Chabad rabbis to make seders for people and distribute matzah and do that kind of things. Was Pesach inhibited or curtailed celebrations to, not held because of the aftermath of the storm, Rabbi Levi Gorkov?
Thank God not. That's the answer to your last question. Pesach is the number one observed, in its trivia. Pesach is the number one observed holiday in the Jewish calendar, surprisingly more than the high holidays. What did change was the people that would traditionally do it in their own home, here in the where I come, where Oceanside area is, in the suburbs of New York. It's a very that part of the tradition is very much kept, and in terms of the Seder. And but if they hosted a Seder of, let's say, 15 or their 20 people of their extended family, this year they weren't able to host anybody. They had to go to their cousins for the first time, or they had to give up that tradition of making it in their home because their home is in the middle of renovating, or all their utensils that they had, or all their Pesach stuff, even if it was the Haggadahs or the books or any of the things that they would use for Passover, they had to throw out because it was the lower part of their home or the storage part of the house. So it did change the face of the Pesach Seder.
Mm-hmm. Do you normally have a community Seder?
We normally have a community Seder. This year, I would say it increased over by 100% due to the fact that people who always made a Seder, this year they... It was too tiring for them to do. It was too much for them to pull off, and they opted out for taking our services.
Uh-huh. So you were more than a convenience. Would you say you were more than a convenience and a necessity, or somewhat both?
Both. People are the exhaustion of just dealing with their with talking to their insurance company, fighting with the government agencies, even going to shop for, let's say, Passover things that they just couldn't deal with it. So even if it's the necessity of emotional necessity, it's a necessity as well.
You also had to fight with your insurance company and the government, no?
Yes. Well, government gives we got rejected for any government funds because of the fact that we're not-for-profit. And we're a religious organization, so we got nothing from any government agency. We're still fighting with the insurance company, which I can't even tell you how many positive stories. When I say positive, meaning people, what they applied for, got. Every single person that I know quite a few, the insurance companies are lowballing them tremendously. If their home is had $100,000 worth of damage in terms of their estimate, they would be coming in a $30,000 payment. And people are exhausted, and they're just taking it. And they're just saying, listen, I'll take it and run. Better than nothing. So the insurance companies are, in my opinion, insurance companies are kind of like twisting everybody's arm under the circumstances, knowing that people need the money to finish renovating. People are tired of dealing with the stuff. So they're basically getting away with it. They're getting away with really, really making these kind of settlements. You don't have to take it, but if you don't take it, you're just looking at another couple months of arguing back and forth, and people are just tired.
Wow. So that's interesting. As an organization which is providing community services, which is should be considered part of the forefront of trying to get the community back together, the federal government is not participating in your rebuilding. That strikes me as strange, Robert Levy Gorkov.
I would tend to agree. Of course, I'm biased in this because I personally, you know, need that reimbursement of all the monies that we've spent for the general community. It was non-denominational. We were there. We were opened. We were a shelter, even for the Red Cross and for the emergency first responders to come to use the facility, and they did. There is something as you're going to have to speak to guys who are involved in this. It is passing the House and the Senate. There's some bill being pushed by our local representative, by our senators in New York and New Jersey. They're trying to get the government to waive this law that they can't embrace, they can't reimburse religious organizations or not-for-profits and religious not-for-profits. So there's something being dealt with in the federal level, but as of now, there's you know, everyone told me that they're, you know, all the agencies told me that I'm rejected.
Right, understood. Do you ever get to a point where you just feel exasperated and just, like, you know, want to throw in the towel?
Throw in the towel in terms of, yes, when it comes to the fighting with FEMA and the government agencies, absolutely. And I did that already. And it was passed. It's gone. I'm not even picking up a phone call to call a local senator and a legislator. Can't say the word wasting your time because, you know, any effort you do, but it's something that I have to put my resources and my energies elsewhere. So that's not where it's coming from, and it's not where I'm going to get my relief in that sense. So I just put that behind me. So I personally, yes, in that sense, I didn't throw in the towel or you know, giving up, but it's just something that you know, other people are talking about exactly every time, you know, what's passing the legislation or not. I'm beyond that. It's not, you know, if it does, it does. They'll come to me and I'm not wasting energies on that area.
Mm-hmm. Now, this seems like you're really stuck because, as you've been and so involved with the helping people after the hurricane, so your budget has probably gone up considerably this year over last year because of your activities. Yet, your support base is now very much involved with trying to fix up their own problems. So you're like more to do but less resources. So how are you managing with that, Levy Gorkov?
That's an interesting fact you're bringing up, which is absolutely true. People who are generous by nature and people who are very giving and are very supportive in the past of all our programs, they're very, very busy with their own rehabilitation of their own homes and just the fact that they're distracted and speaking to an architect or shopping for new beds or whatever it may be. So they're spending their extra monies or even their insurance money, their reimbursement money on their own day-to-day stuff. And so then it's very hard and they're very distracted, so to speak, to be in the mode of helping a not-for-profit organization or volunteer for extracurricular things like in the hospital. Those volunteer, everything took a little bit of a slowdown basically when it came to the local support that we rely on. It's almost non-existent besides one or two people that are still able to do that, but the majority of the people are just very, very distracted. And their businesses are affected, so obviously their possibility of giving is on hold.
What about national nonprofits? I made a donation to, say, Hurricane Sandy relief to Lubavitch.org, and you have the Red Cross and other organizations that stepped up to fill in some gaps. Have you been getting any help from national nonprofits?
Yes, yes, that is the redeeming factor, and that is the light at the end of the tunnel for those private not-for-profit organizations that did come through. We had some foundations that we've never heard of in the past that said that they suspended their charter to give to hurricane relief, where that's not what their charter was. That's an organization of New Jersey. They heard that, they know that certain community places in Long Island needed help, so they would give us, but it would be like a one-time grant due to the fact of the hurricane, and it would be a $5,000 grant. We have, like you said, the Chabad Hurricane Relief Fund did give. As they gave everything out that they got in, and they spread it out amongst the, I think it was 28, if I'm not mistaken, different Chabad and houses that were directly affected by the flood. The New York Federation did give, and is planning on continuing to give. So we do have, that is the only way we're able to sustain ourselves at the moment from the, we're, are from those is from those grants.
It's amazing. So Hashem Yazor, as we say, Hashem provides. So we've got
Absolutely.
you've got the boardwalk being rebuilt in Long Beach, and the streets are getting cleaned up, and people are getting back into their houses. Do you think Oceanside will look like Oceanside it did, say, 3 years ago? Say anytime soon?
For one, it's going to look a little better because everybody's going to have newer appliances, and you look, everyone who has new cars. Because I think it was like 40,000, a huge amount of numbers. I mean, the numbers are absolutely out there ridiculous. I think it was 30 to 40,000 cars in the South Shore that of Long Island that were damaged, and they were reimbursed by the put into new cars. So you have a bunch of new cars going around, so it actually looks nicer. You're not looking at a parking lot that looks nice if you're going to a shopping center. But after all said and done, who cares about that too much? But everybody's houses are being spruced up. Their people are confident that the community is going to rebound. The community is. There's a little change happening of quite a few homes that are up for sale. People who are thinking of selling within the next 5 years are selling now. These are elderly. These are people who want to move, or perhaps half of the year they live in Florida, or they want to go to retirement, so they're doing it earlier than later. So there is a change in the community. You do see a lot of people who are going to leave, but there's a lot of people who are taking the opportunity to come in. So it's changing a little bit the face, but I think for the better. I think it's I think people are that's the exciting part. So people see that it's a nice turnaround.
Okay, good to hear. Okay, if you just tuned in and if you just tuned in, you missed it. I would say go to RabbiFinman.com in about an hour and you can listen to it again. Our guest has been Rabbi Levi Gurkov. He is the Chabad representative of Oceanside, Long Island. They were inundated, decimated by Hurricane Sandy. We did some follow-up. They've had a wonderful Pesach, a happy and a healthy one, I see. And we want to wish you continued and growing success, Rabbi Gurkov.
Thank you, and to your listeners as well.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Herschel Tillman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. I find such stories very inspirational. I mean, thank God, here in Michigan, it's mundane. There's like, today was like just like yesterday, and tomorrow hopefully will be like today. I know I go through hurricanes and things like that. No, thank you. I don't want to be the subject of an interview of how we're thinking 6 months later. Mm-mm. But I do find it quite inspirational. We are in the weeks known as Sephira. It's the time period between Passover and Shavuot, the holiday of the Passover and the Pentecost, when we celebrate or we commemorate a period of mourning for the loss of 24,000 of Rabbi Akiva's students who died in a plague in a 33-day period there. So the music that we listen to is non-instrumental, also known as a cappella. The word cappella in Italian means music, instrumental, and a cappella means without music accompaniment. So, for your listening pleasure, we're going to first up, the name of the group is 613 Acapella, and the song is called Good Shabbos.
Oh, it's time for saying Good Shabbos. Yeah. Wish you a Shabbos that is better than you ever had before. No, no, we wish you a good Shabbos, yeah. Friday night time for saying good Shabbos, yeah. We'll say good Shabbos cause we've waited, 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 waited all week long. No, no, we wish you a good Shabbos, yeah.
Yes, we can. 25 hours, don't make no plans. Challah, children, man, I said it's one. If my kid is gone, all that I need is this one day. That's what's up. It's an ancient concept. Our Torah talking about what God said. I've been waiting for this all week long. How many matzo balls you want? Yeah, I got the Shabbos spirit. I'm feeling so strong. From the minute of the kid, it's the bit kind of my zones. Me and Rock versus joining in song. Keep the music going all night long. Sit down, relax, I want to impress. Life's hard, and time to de-stress. Thank God for my weekly refresh. Man, I love me some Shabbos.
Oh, it's time for saying good Shabbos, yeah. Wish you a Shabbos that is better than you ever, ever had before. No, no, we wish you good Shabbos, yeah.
As we sway, feel the Shabbos fade away.
Yeah. Shabbos.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We got up next. This is the Maccabees. They're getting a song called Aliyah, which means to immigrate to Israel. It's a really pretty upbeat song. Maybe it was even commissioned by the Ministry of Absorption in Israel. I'm not sure. Interesting, the Maccabees have been around since 2007. They started out as a college ensemble. And usually what happens with college ensembles is once they leave college, they usually just go their own merry ways. But these guys have been around for quite a while. So with no further ado, let's adieu to the Maccabees singing Aliyah.
Heroes welcome will be waiting for me, and the crowds will cheer when they see my face, and the voice keeps saying, this is where I'm meant to be. I'll be there someday. I can go.
Find my heroes welcome where.
art studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the art studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The art studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The art studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got another Maccabees for you. This one's called Hamalach HaGoel. It's a traditional lullaby.
Hamalach HaGoel Osi. Hamalach HaGoel Osi Mikorah Yevarech Es Hanearim Vikarei Bahem Shemi. Hamalach HaGoel Osi. The shame of Osai, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yigula Rov, Yigula Rov, the Kerev Haaretz, Wov, the shame of Osai. The shame of Osai, Abraham, the Yitzchak, the Yigularov, the Yigularov, the Kerev Haaretz,
hospital, get healthy. At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Frutasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Herschel Timmon here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Just a reminder, Frutasia now features a line of kosher meat and packaged goods. They make like things like chicken soup and kugel and stuff like that. And if you don't know what kugel is, then I suggest you go to Frutasia and you go buy one and try it. And then you'll know what kugel is. Anyway, this week is the portion of Tazria Metzora. It is, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe used to call this portion Parshas Tahara, rather than calling it Metzora, which is the laws of, there's laws of ritual impurity that are dealt in this portion for various different states of impurity. People coming in contact with bugs, the majority of the things that no longer exist is tzaras, was a skin infliction that occurred in a person's body, which was a spiritual malaise, which we've talked about in years past. The thing I want to focus on over here, towards the end of the portion, deals with the laws of Nida. A Nida is a menstruant. In Judaism, we, let's back up a bit. A woman who is a menstruant is not allowed to have relations with her husband. A period of a week goes by, and after the cessation of any menstruation, and then she goes to the mikveh, and is then allowed to resume normal marital relations. This commandment is one of the pillars of Judaism. There are not enough superlatives that can be expressed that I can encourage any person to start adhering to the laws of mikveh. At first glance, it sounds all very well archaic. This is something from biblical times in the Middle Ages, you know, when people didn't bathe and it was a good thing to take a bath. No, this has nothing to do with bathing. A woman immerses herself in a ritual area, which is some natural body of water, either some naturally occurring body of water like the ocean or a river or lake, or some man-made naturally occurring water like a rainwater cistern type thing, which is really basically the basis of most indoor mikvahs that are built around the world, is collected rainwater in a very specific way. I don't suggest you make a mikveh at home, folks. It's quite complicated. And the woman has to be absolutely perfectly clean before going into the mikveh. So it's not bath. It's not dirty. The ritual impurity thing is not a dirty thing. There are tremendous benefits, more than I could go into this the short period of time allots me here in this venue over here. But I can absolutely say, having been married for going on 30 years, the benefits to the family that are expressed physically, first of all, this is an very unusual statistic. The occurrence of ovarian cancer for women who adhere to mikveh is zero. That's a very interesting statistic. Does it have anything to do one with the other? You could explain it in a natural way. The people are more mindful of such things, and anything unusual is earlier detected. You know, you could do all kinds of things. There are the spiritual benefits that we're never really going to know. The previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, when he left Poland and we came to America in the 40s, really, really, really spent a lot of time publicly talking about adherence to the mikveh and saying that if you want to have healthy children, spiritually and physically, adhere to the laws of mikveh. how stringent is it? It says that if a community is building up, let's say you have like, I don't know, a dozen, two dozen families, okay, and they pick themselves up and they're the pioneers and they move west or wherever they're moving to. And they're in an area where there's nothing around, totally unused land, open facilities. And they have limited resources. The first community building that has to be made is the mikveh, before the synagogue, before anything else. It's the mikveh. Synagogue, you can pray in a field. You can pray in your living room. You could have a synagogue. But a mikveh is very much a specific design building and takes precedent, because prohibition of no relations until a woman goes to mikveh, being very strict, means if there's no mikveh, that means there's no kids. No kids means you don't have a next generation. And so with everything else, this is the amount of effort and funding that should go into a mikveh should not be a consideration as to the effort. Thank God, in Michigan, we have here there's a women's mikveh in Oak Park that my wife refers to as the Taj Mahal. It's a structure, freestanding structure, located in the JCC campus area. And it's my wife says it's more incredible than any spa she's ever been. And that's the adherence. That's what it should be. The Lubavitcher Rebbe would say things like, if there's a spot of dirt on the floor of a mikveh and a woman feels disgusted by it and decides, I'm not going there again, then it's a tremendous loss. And so the vigilance that is maintained in the order of it, and I'm not going to go into great details about it, but if you'd like more details, contact me on rabbifinman.com, and I will put you in touch with the right sorts to do it. And I can honestly say that the laws of family purity maintain a high level of interest between husband and wife. The divorce rate among Orthodox couples, or people who keep the laws of mikveh, is much lower than the national rates. The national rate of divorce at this point is about 50%. It's really high now among Orthodox families. I think it's up to 20%, which when I was first became religious, it was about 7%. But so people who are now, whatever reason, but 20% is a whole lot less than 50%, because there is a whole, it's not just plunking in a bathtub. There is a whole philosophy that goes with it, one which sets the tone in the entire family, how the whole entire family is run, how a husband has to relate to a wife and a wife has to relate to a husband. I saw a very interesting thing. Someone posted to Facebook a couple of weeks ago. There was a seminar in Israel, huge seminar, hundreds of women on discussing the relationship that you can have with your husband, fostering a better relationship. So the moderator said, how many of you love your husbands? And they all raised their hands. And how many of you think your husbands love you? And everybody, of course, raised their hands. So they said, okay, right now, everybody take out your cell phone, which is, that's like, you know, it's like a given now. Everybody's got a cell phone. Take out your cell phone and text to your mate. You should try this. Okay, Ben, my trusty board op, my engineer, I want you to take out your cell phone and text to your wife right now, I love you. Okay? Your wife doesn't have a cell phone?
I don't have a cell phone.
Oh, you don't have a cell phone.
I'm really old school. I don't need one.
Your wife always knows where you are. Okay, you're exempt. Okay. Anyway, I want you to do this. Text to your spouse, I love you. Okay? And they did this thing, and they wanted to, afterwards, they took out the results. The number one response from spouse was, who is this? Okay. Number nine was I Love You Too. Okay, that says something now. Because I tried it with my wife, and I got the correct response, you know. So I won't even go into the accolades that I got for that little text. So there is this relationship one with the other, and this is the way we do it. We got to take a quick commercial break. We're running out of time really fast. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The best way? RabbiFinman.com. We have archived editions of the show. We have the E-Parsha, the U-Parsha, the Hasidic Insights, all on video and in text. You can take it with you wherever you go. And we have the all-important donations page. Yes, we're still trying to pay for a march, believe it or not. They're very patient with us. We need your help. RabbiFinman.com. Click on the biggest button that impresses you, and we'll be happy. You'll be happy, and everybody else will be happy. We're 18 years now. We're in our 18th year. 17 years, going into 18 years. Chai Tzum Leben. 18 is the number of life in Judaism. And let's keep the show living. Don't like doing Internet donations, no problem. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. 200 and something years ago, there was a family living in the Ukraine that couldn't pay their bills. A local landowner known as the Parets, that was the title in Yiddish, Parets for landowner, threw them in a pit, which was debtor's prison. And they stayed there for a while and were fed bread and water till one day the person in charge of taking care of them had pity on them and lowered down the rope and got them out and told them, just run away quick. The landowner was furious, but they made a whole investigation of this. He went in and they found that they had forgotten their newborn infant in their haste. And so the kid was adopted by the landowner, by the Parets. But when he started coming to school, his friends just keep referring to him as Zhid, the Zhid, because interesting enough, in Ukraine, Jews don't look like Ukrainians. Ukrainians are, for the most part, blonde-haired, blue eyes, have square heads and flat foreheads, kind of like Boris Yeltsin-type look. And Jews look like Semites. They have the darker skin, the black, the curly, frizzy hair, the noses, the whole bit, yada, yada, yada. So this kid looked like a Jew. So he went to his mother, quote unquote, and said, what gifts? And she told him the story. The kid was so perturbed. This is like a 5 year, 6 year old kid. He ran away from home. He ran to the next village. And the first person that he encountered, he told them, I'm a Jew and I was kidnapped. And please, I want to be raised as a Jew. this person was shocked, and I suppose things like this were happening in Europe constantly. And he raised him as his own son. And after a while, he sent him off to, he was a very smart kid, and he sent him off to a prominent yeshiva. And he went one time with his father, his adopted father, the Jewish one, to visit Reb Mordechai of Chernobyl. Everybody knows about Chernobyl because they had that meltdown, but Chernobyl was a Hasidic center. And the Chernobyler, as he was referred to, gave this young student what he referred to as an amulet. And he told him, wear this always. On the day of your wedding, go to the rabbi who's going to marry you and open it, and everything will be taken care of. And so they forgot he wore this thing. You know, gets things. I know people I know reckon the day when people used to wear St. Christopher medals, even forgot that they had them on, that kind of stuff. And he wore it. The day of his wedding came, very prominent family. And he went to the rabbi and they opened it. And it said there, a man is not allowed to marry his sister, which was a very strange thing to say. So the rabbi asked him, well, tell me about yourself. Tell me about your background, which he should have done this way before. And he told him the story about his father, his family leaving him. And he went to the father of the bride and told him this story. And the man paled because they were the family that left the baby. That's going to do it for us. We're going to thank you for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you again next week. Take care.